like to start a self-connection exercise. I'd just like to say a little bit about these self-connection exercises. The purpose of them for me is to begin to cultivate a sense of presence, what's actually happening, and to also meet a need for self-connection, which is one of the foundational needs and skills, radical compassion and nonviolent communication. For the purposes of this exercise, you don't need to worry about trying to take notes or anything like that. And also, feel free to use your own variations of these self-connection exercises in your own practice groups if you have one locally. So, to begin the exercise, just look around and see where you are in your own space now. Become present in the environment that you're in. Opening your eyes, what's around you. Opening your ears to what you hear. Opening your sense of smell to what you smell. Opening your taste buds to the tastes that are present in your mouth right now. Opening your physical sensations of the exterior of your body to notice where your body is sitting or lying or standing now. Where are you contacting the world with your body? Bringing the attention inside your body. Sharpening the skill of observing what's going on inside of you. Noticing first any physical sensations that are calling for attention in this moment. There's a sense of pain somewhere in your body, ache. There's a sense of pleasure in your body. Just notice without trying to change it, modify it. Be present. Whatever experience you're having in your body right now. We're going to exercise the muscle of focus a little bit more. And invite you to focus your presence on different parts of your body. Notice what you notice. First, just notice whatever you notice about your right foot. Your attention in the right foot. Scanning for any physical sensations that are present there. That are absent there. And the left foot, shifting the attention from right to left, exercising your focus and your autonomy, your choice. See if you can hold your attention on both feet. Maybe even put both feet flat on the ground. For you to do whatever location you are, if you can just notice what it's like to have both feet firmly on the ground, grounding into the earth, what that's like for you. If the situation is can't do that right now, just notice what that's like for you. Bring your attention to the base of your spine. Any physical sensations that are there. Shifting again the awareness. Lower belly in the front of your body. Seeing what you notice there, is there a sense of openness or closeness? stillness, stillness. Sensation, tension. Notice what you notice, again, without trying to change anything. Sharpening the awareness. Sharpening your presence. Lower belly. Bringing the attention up to the area right behind your belly button. Thing. Just be present with whatever you notice there. Now just bring your attention up to the solar plexus area. Be present with whatever you notice in the solar plexus area where your rib cage comes together above the belly button. Shifting once again to the heart of your chest. Present to any physical sensations that are there. As you sit with the physical sensations in your chest, just as an additional step you can try, just breathe into whatever physical sensation you have in your chest. Just that as you breathe in, increasing the amount of presence you have, what's happening in your chest. As you breathe out, that too is increasing the level of presence you have, whatever is happening in your chest. Shifting the attention one more time to your throat. Becoming present to whatever you notice there without trying to modify it or change it in any way. Becoming present to what's actually happening there. Then bring your attention to the center of your forehead. Again, just noticing if there's anything there for you to notice. Maybe there might not be. Cultivating a sense of curiosity and wonder. Another way of supporting presence. What's going on here? Finally, the top of your head. Just notice if there's anything going on at the top of your head. Final step in the exercise. See what happens as you expand your awareness to encompass the whole of your body. From the bottom of your feet where we started, up through the core of your body, the spine, belly, the chest, the throat, just the whole gestalt, the wholeness of your entire body. Now, recognizing that you can bring your awareness at any moment, this quality of presence with yourself. Here is a rich source of information for you. As the exercise ends, to just collect for yourself anything that you've learned about your own experience, about your own skill. I'd like to take a moment and write yourself a note about anything that you're taking away from the exercise. That'd be fine. Back to Jory here to explain what the next step is in our time together today. Jory?
So today our shift of focus is on our feelings, bringing presence and awareness to the feelings in our body. The observation is a stimulus. There's something happens in the world over and over and over again. Lots of things are happening in the world. And that is a stimulus for us as a physical being. And the physical being is responding in a variety of ways to the external stimulus and sometimes to the internal mental stimulus that we then add to it. And that response in our body is what we're talking about as feelings, in emotions. Emotions being the flow inside our bodies, the feelings being the physical sensations and emotions. So there's flow in there, and then there's physical sensations going on all the time. There's an amazing amount of movement and change going on in our body. And, of course, some of it we're aware of and some of it we're not. Actually, thankfully, some of it we're not. Because if we were really always just focusing in and we felt every blood cell that moved through our body, then there would not be a lot of space to be able to focus on other things. So I want to be thankful for both the awarenesses that we do have and also the gift of the awarenesses we don't, because sometimes what happens is we move into that right-wrong dynamic about what we are aware of. In this class, we are focusing on the awareness of our feelings, to be tuning in, to shifting our focus inward, to be aware so that we actually get the feedback that is intended by the movement and the physical sensations and emotions in our body. Where we generally feel the emotions that are the feedback of that are responding to the physical sensations that are the emotions are in the trunk of our body, generally around our belly and our heart. So spending some more time just feeling what is going on. So when something happens, to be able to turn our attention inward as opposed to just allowing the sort of habitual process of moving our attention to our thoughts. The thoughts are stimulated as well, and they tend to either mask the feelings or they tend to intensify them. And what we're wanting to do is have some acceptance of them. I want to make a distinction when we're becoming aware of feelings that there's a distinction between flow and the damming up of the feelings that we do with our resistance or our wallowing or our fueling it with our thoughts. I want to invite us into this idea of flow. The reality is every emotion you have ever had has shifted, except for the one you have right now, because this is now, and this is what is. And the point I want to make is that feelings by their nature change. We can be afraid they won't. This is what often is at the heart of the resistance we have. Or we may think we have to do something, and that's where some of the wallowing comes in. We have to pay attention and do something about them. And there is something that's very helpful, both with a TH and a P, to do with our feelings. And we'll be moving into what to do with them. And in this particular lesson, what I'm inviting you is just to be with them. Just to be. They have a natural flow, kind of like a drop of water in a river that naturally flows toward an ocean. The drop of water will make its way to the ocean. It may move through a circuitous or seemingly circuitous route, and it is actually taking its natural, easiest route down to that ocean just by the gravity of it. Not the gravity of seriousness, but the actual Earth's gravity will draw it to the ocean. And this is what I experience when I'm willing to actually give my feelings space. And what I find helpful in that is to actually not only have the feelings and give them space, but put my attention on the subtle changes of physical sensations that are happening that help me move from that kind of stuck emotional place into flow. We've learned a lot over the years through cultural training about what to do with our feelings. When you think of a baby, if you've been with one, most of us have, some of us may not have, but one of the most amazing things to me about babies and their feelings is how quickly they change. Baby will be absolutely freaking out. And when the need is attended to, it immediately stops. Because the feeling is so connected to the circumstance and what really matters to the baby that as soon as it's addressed, the feeling stops. A baby will go from crying hysterically to totally calm. There may be a whimpering time in there if there's been a fair amount of time of crying because there's a certain chemical change in our bodies that happen. Find if there's been a really intense amount of emotions as an adult, what I do is to actually drink some water to help some of that chemical flow through. Often with babies, a mother will nurse a baby when they've been very upset. That's a intuitive, instinctual response to helping those feelings flow through us. There's an analogy that I find really helpful, and to consider that our feelings are like the oil light on the dashboard of a car. So something happens, conditions change, and the oil light comes on. We have a lot of choice about that. Let's say the oil light is red. And one of our choices is we go, I don't like red. And we get out the duct tape and we tape over the light. That's one option. The other option is that we go, oh, I love the color red. Oh, let's just hang out with red. Love may be not quite the response to the feeling, but nonetheless, it's the same energy of sort of wallowing in it, just keeping it right there. The first one was to ignore it. The other one was just to put our attention just on the light. And either way, happened to the car. If we do not attend to what the light is telling us, or will die. The first thing I find as very important to do is to pay attention to the light without adding anything to it. To make sure we're very aware that the light is there. When we taught our children to drive a car, we introduced them to the various lights on the dashboard. This week is just knowing that you have a dashboard, that something is going on inside of you that is very, very important. There's communication going on. In the same way a beloved would come to you and start to communicate something with some feeling in it. Again, you could either be open to them and just hold them in that and be with them, or, of course, you can push them away with resistance. And I'm inviting us to open in this moment in the same way we would a beloved that we would actually want to be with. To hold ourselves as that beloved, hold our feelings. And I have a little mantra that happens for me when emotions happen, which is, let the thoughts go, let the feeling be. Let the thoughts go, let the feeling be. Now, you might say, and I want to acknowledge, that there are times when it's not just about being with the feeling. If something really intense is happening, the analogy that comes to me is remembering being in the subway and watching one of the children running toward the tracks as the train was coming. Feelings arose for me. I'm not just going to let the feelings, just sit with the feelings and let them have their flow. There is an instinctual protection to life, just to acknowledge that those are thoughtless acts when it comes to protecting. And I'm inviting us to have some sort of awareness of whether it's really protection that has to happen right now, or whether there is some space just to let the feelings flow through us so that whatever happens next comes from a place of connection within us. The beautiful thing about this awareness is that actually these feelings are not differ from the analogy of the oil light in that they're not just on and off. They're more like a fuel gauge, actually, where there is information along the way so that we begin to see, yes, the fuel tank is indicating that it is no longer full. It's at half. That's information. And I'm in the middle of the desert driving, and I know there's a town up about 25 miles away. At half, then I'm going to want to fill the tank. If, in fact, I'm driving around town and I know that there is an abundance of fuel, I might want to wait and attend to some other things. The more attention we can put on our feelings, the more choice we have. The more awareness we have, the more choice we have. And the more likely those choices will come with wisdom because we've put awareness there. I've said a lot. I'm going to pause here and see if anybody has any questions or any comments you'd like to make about what you've heard so far. Shakira.
I laughed out loud when you gave the oil gauge example of duct taping it, and I like the discernment that it's really, feelings are really more like the information panel. But that analogy is still going to live with me as a great demonstration of how sort of quickly and actively it's possible to dam up or ignore that energy movement. And I also am enjoying the attention to our feelings, attending to them without adding something to that. I've enjoyed this space to be immersed in both the physical connecting and also kind of an intellectual streaming of bringing meaning into this whole topic. And I don't know whether you spoke directly to the relationship of attention that in nonviolent communication, the partnership of feelings and needs, I think that you might not have. Is that true?
True, not this week. What I really am wanting us to focus on is just being aware of the feelings before we start looking further and putting the doing in. It's too easy to do the doing if we don't focus first on just at least being aware here.
Well, as linking those and having practiced and so making the association of feelings and then connecting to something that feelings are in relationship to, I'm actually really enjoying this slowing down and being immersion in this step all by itself without adding something to that as well.
I appreciate that because we're so busy to do something with it that actually the need part becomes a doing rather than the natural being of it. Thanks.
I do have a question. I realized I quoted something that I don't know whether it's true. A scientific study that feelings naturally move at a certain rate and so that they're only like a certain number of seconds, not minutes.
It actually comes from Lucy Liu in the workbook that feelings last only 40 seconds or less unless we refuel them. They can be refueled in a variety of ways, and physical pain certainly can continue to be refueled by a physical stimulus. And emotional pain is often refueled by thoughts, which is why I suggest the let the thoughts go, let the feeling be, because the thoughts will take us away from the feeling, and we will miss the information. And the thoughts will give us the information as well, but it's a more circuitous and generally a more suffering direction.
Thank you.
So, Mickey.
I think, I'm not sure about that study, but I think one way you might make your own study is to look at a child. And, you know, you can time the duration of a child's expression of emotion, which might be an interesting thing. So, and I liked your reference to looking at a child because you talk about going with the flow, but you really haven't given a description of what the flow might look like. And for me, if you look at a child, very young child, that hasn't been suppressed, you might get an idea of what the expression of anger might look like, the expression of grief, and the expression of terror, which all manifest different physically. So I think that's important. And the only other point I would like to make is that for some of us that have experienced trauma, abuse, that the expression of emotion has been suppressed and that it's still in what's called the body musculature, it's held in muscles. It just doesn't dissipate in 40 seconds, unfortunately.
Thank you, Mickey. I'm appreciating the reference to children, the very young children. I'm still amazed at that and the learning that I get from actually watching them. And would like to say a little bit about trauma and feelings as well. I'm really glad you brought that forth. That what happens in trauma happens because it is so important in certain situations for us to keep our attention extrinsic, particularly when something is really dangerous. We interpret something as dangerous or it actually is very dangerous. And it's important for us to stay really attuned. And we have the skill of putting things aside and choosing where we put our focus. And when we choose to put our focus someplace other than our feelings, those feelings are really in the body and still need some integrating. What I'm inviting people in with the feelings right now is by just putting your attention on the feelings and that analogy I used of water going down and flowing into an ocean is really a process of integration. And when trauma has happened and people are supported very quickly with empathy, the integration happens very quickly. When it's been in there for a while, there is this sense of stuckness that happens. around those feelings. And there is a rhythm to that as well. One of the biggest traumas of my life was receiving a phone call telling me that my husband had died. Not Jim, obviously. I've been with Jim for over 30 years, but in my 20s I was widowed. And really the information came from a policeman on the phone. It was incredibly traumatizing, and it was really, I basically collapsed in the moment, and I just, integrating that experience into my life was really a year-long process. And what I noticed was, and I'd be curious in a moment, Mickey, to hear your response to this as well, because you're indicating that you've had an experience of trauma. My experience of it was that I wanted some choice about how I dealt with it, and I actually did it with a fair amount of awareness that I would focus on this only at certain times, and I would consciously choose to focus elsewhere, and it was a way of maintaining some wholeness. And I'm also aware that there was a part of me that was terrified that if I really went totally into it, that I would die. And I had made a choice, actually, a conscious choice, whether I would or wouldn't at some point, you know, choose life or death rather than be so totally unconscious in it. I've spoken to other people who've had that experience of losing a loved one and making that same choice. And so if I was choosing life and I wanted to live, that I was afraid, actually, to let all those feelings in all at one time. I have since actually had some experiences, probably not, or they weren't really trauma, but around core beliefs and core jackals, where I've actually sat through it all, thinking I might die and going, I don't care, I'm done with this, if I die, I die, and really being able to move through incredible trauma in a relatively short period of time, like fed trauma with jackals. Anyway, having said all that, Mickey, I'm curious if there is anything stimulated for you.
First of all, I do agree that as an adult, we have the capability to choose to work with the trauma or not work with the trauma. So that's one thing, that we can make the choice. And I don't want to minimize the trauma you experienced, but one of the points is that you were in your 20s, and the trauma didn't physically or violate any of your boundaries when it occurs. So for me, there's maybe a spectrum of the, and I think you've also made specific the point, is that we're afraid to experience these extreme emotions because we're afraid we're going to die. So it's, you know, the core reason why we suppress is that we're afraid of annihilation, of non-existence. But if the trauma occurred at a much younger age, especially before even the development of language, then the difficulty and the severity of what you might experience, though, I think that, you know, might give you a little perspective on the spectrum that is possible.
Thank you, Mickey. And I'm going to turn this over to Jim at this point to move into some practice.
Yes, great. Thanks, Jory. And I really enjoyed the presentation and the reminder of these important things. And now I'd like to move into a chance for all of us to practice a sense of increasing our presence and our feeling awareness. So what I'd like to propose, in a minute, you'll find yourself in a pair. And in that pair, here's what I'd like you to play with, is there'll be two roles, a speaker and a listener. And when you're playing the role of listener, then you will be just listening with whatever empathy means to you to the other person. And so you'll just be paying attention to cultivating your own sense of presence as the other person speaks. The person who is playing the role of speaker, here's what I'd like you to simply do, is to sit and notice what you're feeling and say what you're feeling. It will be a description of your physical sensations or a description of your emotions or some combination thereof. So it might sound like this. I'll play the role of speaker right now and see if I can be clear about what I'd like you to do. curious, nervous, fuzzy, anxious, so forth. Any questions about the exercise? Okay, Shakira, go ahead.
Are you requesting specifically that we use one single word?
Usually that's enough. It might be butterflies in my stomach, might be a physical sensation. But usually feeling words are very brief. So if you notice yourself saying something like, I feel that this exercise is stupid, that's probably not a feeling. But if you're the listener, it's not your job to correct. It's just to be present with that. There's no rule about it. You just say whatever comes up for you. But the focus will be on reporting your physical sensations and emotions.
I would suggest you stay very descriptive, very descriptive. And your focus remains inward rather than trying to explain to somebody else.
Vicki, go ahead.
I would like to make a language distinction for me. And I think you said something like butterflies in my stomach. For me, that's a metaphor again. And so you're going a level of language away from description rather than I feel fluttery or I feel hot. And so, you know, I feel if I have a volcano in me, it's different than I'm feeling hot. That's the distinction I work with.
Great. Thanks, Mickey. If that's helpful for you or for others, I'm glad you brought that distinction up. The idea is just to tune in to what's going on in your body and then have a chance to honestly express it when you're in the role of speaker. And the idea when you're in the role of listener is just to open yourself to being present with the other person as they make their own description of what's going on in them. We'll do this for 3 minutes each. Certainly don't have to talk the whole time. There might be quite a bit of silence. Just notice how that is for you as the feelings shift. And then we'll come back into the large group. Okay? Just going to take 45 seconds here. Just be with the flow of feeling, your own body. 45 seconds in silence, having had this experience right now. Now notice you can cultivate an awareness of the distinction in what's happening in your body, what you're telling yourself about what's happening. Play with that distinction for another 45 seconds between what you're feeling, what you're telling yourself. As this part of the exercise ends, just notice that there was a part of you that was able to notice that distinction or to notice that you weren't noticing the distinction. There is an observer that is active in you from moment to moment that you can shift your attention to the position of observing, engaging with noticing these distinctions that we've been talking about. We'll take 30 more seconds or so just to be with yourself, and if you'd like to write yourself a note, artist some of what this has been like for you. Do that, and then we'll come back to the large group in about 30 seconds. All right, so I'd like to say a little bit about some practices for you to play with to build on the skills of presence, observing, and feeling awareness. One thing that I'd like to suggest that you do is to do this exercise that we just did. You can do it with a partner, or you can do it with a tape recorder or a video camera, or you can do it in front of the mirror. But take some time each day, 2 or 3 minutes at least, to just focus on what's going on in your body with an intention to become more deeply aware of the signals that your body is sending you. It would be great if you could do it with someone else, a partner, one of your kids, one of your parents, doesn't really matter who. If they'd like to play along with you, then you could practice the empathy part as well, and they could just say what's going on for them. And I'm confident that taking 5 minutes a day of doing this will begin to exercise some muscles in you of creating more conscious awareness about the signals that are on your dashboard. One specific signal that I would like you to attend to on an ongoing basis is hunger. When I'm teaching NVC, often with a group that's never heard of NVC before, I will often bring awareness to this very deep and primordial feeling. Some of us have gotten disconnected from the feeling of hunger, but for most of us, it's there. We notice it around noon, around 6 p.m., around 8 o'clock in the morning, like clockwork. We can really tune into our body and notice the physical sensations of hunger. So to bring awareness at least 3 times a day to that particular clue that your body has a need, and then to notice how your body shifts as you begin to prepare food, as you begin to eat food, what happens after you finish consuming food, about 20 minutes later, notice how the sensations and emotions shift, and then to then watch them as they emerge over the course of the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, just to become aware of the cycle and the shift, that as the need for sustenance emerges, it changes our physical sensations. Very powerful process. Then you can also continue with some of the other exercises that you've been doing over the last 2 weeks. Those would be very powerful to also support continuing presence. I would like to just begin the checkout with my sense of celebration of how this class has gone, and I've really enjoyed the time with you today. I've really taken it as my own spiritual practice to monitor my own feelings as this class has gone on, to do the best I could to walk my talk, and I noticed a lot. And I think that the class actually for me began yesterday when there was something that happened around dinner last night, and I just had kind of a wave of emotion come up. And I really got to see how my mental chatter supported a disconnected emotional state or an intensified emotional state that kept me feeling separate from my partner, and how that washed through my body over the course of the evening, and how different emotional experiences came up in the interim. And then during the call today, there were several periods of time where I would notice frustration around some issues with the telephone or the computer system or some noise that was in the background. I'd noticed a kind of an anxiety and a worry that it was somehow impeding your ability to stay connected because there's some construction work right next to where I'm on the phone. All of that was alive in me, so I really learned a lot about increasing my own feeling awareness, so feeling a lot of gratitude.